Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
105. Everybody ready for a covenant history? Let's just call it 101. I don't know why they call it 101 in most of these terminologies, but are you ready for some covenant history?
Yes,
I am. Now, let me preface this by saying some things that may keep us from getting a whole lot further into it. I don't know where the preface is going to lead us, but I want to be led of the Spirit of God today. Amen. God is a God of covenant. That's why your Bible is separated by two covenants. I know it says Old Testament and New Testament, but the actual Hebrew and the actual Greek render the word testament covenant. Amen. If you read anything about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you'll find that what he's doing in behalf of the nation of Israel, he's doing because of a covenant. Can you say amen? If you move into the New Testament, amen, you'll find again a new covenant. Jesus began the whole communion type and picture by saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." This is the new covenant. So the whole New Testament is based on a new covenant. Hebrews calls it a new and better covenant that is established on better promises. Every time I read that, I think of Psalm 103. I think of the old covenant that wasn't as good as the new covenant. And I think of how good the old covenant was. Can you say amen? So when I read to you some things about the old covenant, I want to just strengthen your faith in what the new covenant really has for you and the power of it and the strength of it. God doesn't love you. The reason he made the covenant is because he wanted to seal his love. It's something like marriage, amen. If you really love one another and you're ready to make a deep commitment to one another, amen, we call it a marriage covenant, amen. You make vows before God, and you make vows to one another. And it's supposed to constitute a spiritual covenant and a joining of a man and woman. One man, God's plan is one man, one woman forever. Praise the Lord. Now, my wife and I both became Christian. We both bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're not the handsome prince. That's pretty obvious. Amen. I'm still the frog waiting for the kiss. Hallelujah. Amen. But Pamela married me anyway. Praise the Lord. And but she is the princess. But you know, you can never find the handsome prince and the princess who goes off to the castle. And there, what happens when they get to their castle, when these two perfect people meet and ride away on the white horse? What happens when they get to their castle? What is the fairy tale? You know, we all know it's a fairy. What happens? They live happily ever after. Can you say amen? It must be somewhere out west on the range where it never is heard a discouraging word and skies are not cloudy all day. Amen? Hallelujah. What a mythical thing it seems to us. But I'm grateful for the strength of a covenant when two become one. We're working on our 41st year together. And I'm grateful for that in a time when marriage is under the attack. If yours is broken down and you're looking again for another opportunity at this grand, wonderful privilege of God to share a oneness together and wholeness together, don't give up. God won't give up on you because something has failed. There is repentance and there is restoration. And when God restores, he does a grand job of it. And you find a woman or a man who bows to Jesus before they would bow to you, that their heart is more committed to Christ than it is to even loving you. And you'll find somebody that'll love you like you've never been loved. Can you say amen? Because they're the kind of people that keep promises. And if you really want a good relationship, you need somebody that'll keep their heart set on you. Amen? So find a Christian. And don't just say a Christian in the generic term. Find a dedicated Christian. There's a big difference in Christian, because I go to church occasionally, and dedicated, which means I serve Jesus all the time. Can you say amen? We need to clarify that today. A dedicated Christian serves the Lord all the time. But we've got an old covenant, we've got a new covenant. And we could talk a lot about the covenant. I want to just look at this history of God's keeping of his covenant to the nation of Israel to the time that Psalm 105 has been written. Now, let me read you this. That John Calvin said about Psalm 105. He's the great theologian. John Calvin said that all true wisdom consists of two parts, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves. Say it with me. The knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves. He believes that all true wisdom consists when you really know. And there's a lot to that, because the Bible said that they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The New International said they will be steadfast and they will take action. Amen. Paul's great prayer in the book of Ephesians, his letter to Ephesus, Ephesians 3, amen, verse 17 begins with, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole host of earth and heaven is named, that he would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Can you say amen? And Paul said again, oh, that I might what? Know him. There's no greater knowledge than knowing God. Not just knowing about him, but knowing him. We serve a God that can be known, and especially in the new covenant. For Jesus Christ said, when you've seen me, you've seen God as if he were a man, so that you can understand and appreciate him. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God, in fact, became man and dwelt among us. Hence the name Emmanuel, which is what? Not just a new prophet coming on the scene, but God himself with us. God incarnate. Hallelujah. So that we could know this mystical, spiritual being. Amen. Intimately and personally. For Christ said, have you been with me this long, to his disciples, and you have not known me? Amen. Or known my Father. For when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Isn't that incredible? So if you want to know what God is like, amen, get into Jesus Christ. Read the New Testament. I suggest everybody wanting to know anything about, amen, God and his plan of salvation, begin with John's Gospel. Don't begin with the book of Deuteronomy. Amen. Don't get into the book of Revelation. Try to find out who the Antichrist is until you first find out who Jesus Christ is. Can you say amen? Because to know him is to love him, and I do. That's just a little song of mine that I stole from the 60s. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Rededicated it to Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. You can't know him and just become a great theologian. If you really know God, you're going to become a great devoted servant, because you love him so much. Because you're going to discover what kind of loving God that he is. Amen. Because he loves, he established covenants. And that's what we're talking about today. And then knowing yourself. We had four spiritual laws here today. One of those is that you're a sinner. That we are products of the fall and we need a Savior. Can you say amen? Isn't it good to know that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, so we all come on a common ground? There's no self-righteous people. No one that's going to point the finger at someone else. Amen. If I see someone that's bound by drugs, I can say honestly, except for the grace of God, there go I. If I see someone addicted to drink, I can't come down hard on them. All I can say is, except for the grace of God, there go I. That could have been me. Amen. If I see a home that's broken up, amen, through divorce, all I can say is, except for the grace of God in my wife and I's life, that would have been us. If we hadn't become Christians and lived out our Christianity, our home couldn't stand the pressure of sin and temptation. It was beginning to creak and to give under the pressure in the first few years of our marriage. It all changed when Jesus came into our heart and life. I'm grateful for a God who lets us see our sinfulness, but lets us see his love for sinners. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And this is a fallen world full of sinful people, but God loved it enough to give his Son for it. Amen. That's the kind of God that we serve. And if you're going to get rooted and grounded in something, the Bible said, get rooted and grounded in love. Amen. That you might know what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and to be filled with all the fullness of God in the New Testament. That means that God wants you to start out on a foundation of knowing, number one, before anything else, that God has power, God has righteousness, and he is righteous, he is holy, but he is love. Everything he does in his covenant is based on his intense love for fallen man and his creation. Can you say amen? And intense love for his people. Paul said if he loved us enough to give us his only begotten Son, that's why faith worketh by love. Amen. Is the stimulus and the catalyst for faith to really work. It's not just to know that God can't lie. Amen. Is the reason you can expect him to act in your behalf. You need that he know that he loves you so intensely. Amen. That he will not withhold any good thing from you. Hallelujah. Because just standing on the Word can become just a kind of an impersonal thing where you're just trying to use the resolve of your own will to stand upon a promise. Amen. What you need to do is get to know a person so intimately and so personally that you don't doubt for one minute that He loves you enough to hear you when you cry unto Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You know what the Bible said? If you, being evil, intrinsically in a fallen world, in our flesh nature, we are not, you being evil, He said, know how to give good things to your children. You fathers being evil know how to do that. How much more shall the Heavenly Father, in Him there's no darkness at all, His perfect love toward us, how much more shall He give good things to them that ask Him? Amen. So Paul said, if He loved us enough to give us His only begotten Son, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Can you say amen? Yeah. So faith worketh by what? Faith worketh by love. And you can't really fall in love with the Lord until you begin to receive His love. We love Him because He first loved us, because He took the love initiative. And He did it while we were yet in our sins. The Scripture is very clear that Christ died for the ungodly. So that's an amazing thing about the love of God. So you can almost understand someone giving their life for someone so good and so wonderful. But when someone gives their life for someone so deplorable and horrible and sinful and blaspheming, amen, He said, that's the extraordinary thing about God's love, that Christ died for the ungodly, and He commended His love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for the good people. He died for people that were lost and hopeless and helpless, just like the young woman that said, I can't change myself. I would love to be a Christian, but I can't change who I am. And she discovered you don't have to change who you are. All you have to do is accept Him as He is and as you are, and He will change you from the inside out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's how God works, always from the inside out. David said, who is man that thou art even thoughtful of him? And then as he progressed in his knowledge of God and himself, he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. He saw himself initially as a speck of dust. Thou takest pity on us, Lord, because thou knowest that we are dust. But you know what raises us from the dust? Amen, is because we are loved infinitely by a mighty, wonderful Maker, hallelujah, who's become our Savior, our Sovereign, and our King. And that gives you value and worth because you were worth the blood of Jesus. Isn't that incredible? So the next time you're trying to, you know, get the perfect weight and the perfect car to say you've arrived, and I was reading in a magazine the other day that there's certain brands and of clothing that say to a man, it's called dressing for success, similar to that dressing for success. I believe I'm dressed for success here today. You know, I have on my, I'm not even going to tell you any further. I'm not going to tell you about this coat. It's a neat coat. I like it. Amen. Only cost $150. $150 is the sale price for this coat. $150 is good. But it was all wrapped up on the outside. There's a certain type of shoes that says, you know, you've arrived. I mean, I had an old pair of shoes I've been wearing for 2 years, and I wore them in the locker room, and a guy beside me, you know, he looked down and said, Stacy Adams? I thought, Stacy Adams? No, I pulled them off and looked inside to see what they were. Amen. Old pair I've been wearing for 2 years, but, you know, people are looking for, what brand is that? What brand this is he wearing? What brand? Everything's on the outside, the superficial. I'm so glad that God doesn't just deal with us on that. But you dress for success, and you know, you value by what you're wearing. It defines who you are. You know what? And so we find ourselves, if we don't come up to a certain level, if I can't buy that brand, if I can't wear that coat, if I can't live in that house or drive this automobile, I haven't arrived yet. We even got preachers think that they, to show how far they have excelled, amen, that we have to put on this grandiose show, a presentation of ourselves. I love the way Abraham lived, don't you? Abraham was one of the richest men. Listen, God blessed him, man. God blessed Abraham. I mean, God blessed Abraham up one side and down the other, to use my Kentucky background. Praise God. Abraham was one of the richest men that ever was. Amen. Because God blessed him wherever he went and whatever he did. Praise God. Amen. One time, he was offered a king's ransom because because he had delivered the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, took a little group of anointed Hebrews in and plucked these men that were being held from ransom and brought them out. Amen. And they were so filled with gratitude, they wanted to make Abraham rich beyond his wildest dreams because their life had been saved. And they said, Abraham, we want to pour this into you. And he said, no. He said, no way. No way. He said, if you do that, amen, when I'm blessed, people will say that men made me rich instead of God. Woo! Boy, what a way for a preacher to talk. Can you say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, that doesn't mean that if you write me a check this morning, I won't receive it. Hallelujah. Unless, of course, it could be misconstrued that you made me rich. And knowing most of you, I don't think you could do it. Can you say amen? But if a millionaire walks in, honestly, I want it to be very clear, amen, that I wouldn't take him out to lunch to try to get him to bless me. Because it would be said that man made the preacher blessed instead of God. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen, if I can't take this woman out that's on a fixed income, with my wife, of course, amen. Don't stop there. Amen. Me and my wife take this lady out to dinner, amen, or to lunch, that's on a fixed income, amen, because she gives faithfully, amen. And so we decide, let's take her to dinner, amen. And we if we couldn't take her to dinner, we shouldn't take a millionaire that walks into dinner, because the Bible said that's respect to persons and that's sin. What I'm trying to tell you is you don't have to meet man's standard to get your self-worth this morning. Amen. You are part of covenant people. Yes. And you are loved with covenant love. Yes. Can you say amen? And your extraordinary worth today is because of what was paid to purchase you. That's what gives you your great value. Amen. You have not been redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. What was paid for your ransom was far greater than anything that silver and gold could purchase. Can you say amen? But you were bought. The Bible said you were not redeemed with the corruptible things like silver and gold after your fathers, their value system. But you were purchased. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Abraham was rich beyond his wildest dreams when he was given the opportunity to choose the fertile, Eden-like valley, agriculturally rich, pastorally rich, amen, between Sodom and Gomorrah, amen. He chose to go the other way and gave his junior Lot first choice, amen. Because he knew something. If I serve God, it doesn't matter which way I go. Amen. It doesn't matter. I don't have to compromise. I don't have to get into conflict. I don't have to assert myself. All I have to do is bow to Him every day and praise Him every night. Hallelujah. Amen. And God will take care of me. And my God will bless me. Can you say amen? So Abraham became extraordinarily blessed of the Lord. The amazing thing was he showed his values by the way he lived under that blessing. Abraham lived his whole life in a portable structure. He lived in tents his whole life. He didn't build a palatial mansion and say, I'm the patriarch of this whole race here, and I'm under God's blessing. Look at me. He lived in tents. Why did he do it? The scripture said it's very clear why he did it. Because he looked for a city his whole life that wasn't here on planet Earth. Hallelujah. Isn't that a great value system to have it all and not say, but you know, I'm traveling light. I'm on my way to somewhere far better than anything I could build here on this planet. Hallelujah. Amen. It said he looked for a city. He showed his value system and his faith because he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And what I'm trying to say to you through this study, one of the things God wants to get across out of the many things, the myriad of things, is that your self-worth should not come by becoming that perfect weight or having that perfect automobile or living in that perfect home. Your self-worth should come, amen, not because of your personal earthly achievements. You might be a housewife and called to be one. Then fulfill your calling with great joy. And when you put down HW, when it says your profession, and they look at you like, oh, you're just one of those people, one of those insignificant, infinitesimal, amen, keepers of the home. Well, God says you're not insignificant. Amen. You have the most, if you've got children in particular, you've got one of the most powerful places of influence that there is in a young person's life. You have the time. You portray Jesus. Amen. Dad, you're not just a guy that goes to work to put bread and butter on the table. You're an influence, a powerful influence for Jesus Christ in your home. So don't look at the world's standards and their value systems and try to keep up with anybody. Live for Jesus. There are people that have a real problem with your pride, your ego, and you're still trying to be accepted, and you have His acceptance, and that's not enough. And I'm going to tell you something. You need to grow beyond that. Yeah. Amen. You're a child of the Most High God. Amen. It doesn't matter what your family thinks of you. Amen. Anymore. It's what God thinks of you that should influence your life. It doesn't matter what your friends think. If they're your real friends, they'll appreciate you for who you are, amen, not what you possess. Amen. Can you say amen? And if you're still living that charade, there's an unhappy core inside of you. Amen. And we need to get rid of that. I lived my whole life with a complex. I came into the kingdom with baggage. Anybody bring any bags in? Anybody bring a trunk load of stuff? Can you say amen? And I've been unpacking my whole life as a Christian. I've been unpacking, praise God, all that junk I brought. Amen. And you know something? We tend to want to hold on to some stuff that we need to get rid of. And one of the things I had to get rid of was a bad self-image. I brought it. It was instilled in me. I grew up being told, basically, be careful what you tell your kids because it'll mark them for their whole life. I grew up feeling like I was never quite good enough. So I came to a point I decided, well, you know something? I've tried so hard and I never quite made it. I'm going to quit trying. I give up on the whole deal. And I went the total opposite direction for a season until the Lord got a hold of me and brought me back. But I brought my baggage into the kingdom. I didn't just preach to please Jesus. I preached to get a response because I needed affirmation. And that's why if you did amen loud enough, I'd be in your face saying, isn't that right? Amen? Well, I'm not in your face anymore. You don't have to amen me to affirm me. The Lord affirmed me at the cross, and I finally figured that out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, can you say if you want to? You don't have to. Praise the Lord. You didn't have to clap just then. I liked it. Amen. But you didn't have to. Amen. For me to preach and feel good about this service and what I'm preaching this morning. It's the Word of God. I know it can change your life. I know it's changed my life. Hallelujah. I like that word, ancient words, that song, tried and ever true, changing me and changing you. And I'm still in flux. Hallelujah. I'm still in a process of being changed this morning. Hallelujah. From glory to glory, you never cease the changing process. Hallelujah. Has anybody in this room, I'm just asking this for my not for my gratification, but just to tell where we are. Has anybody in here experienced any change in the last few weeks or months in your heart? You know some things are changing on the inside. Well, God's not done yet. He's got some more He wants to change. And He doesn't want to change it because you're awful. He just wants to change you. Amen. Change you because He wants you more like Himself. And He's so wonderful that there's so much to be done in our life. That's why this is not just something you do to achieve for Him. This is a grand adventure. Hallelujah. I know I'm going to be changed as a result of just reading again the Word of God this morning. Hallelujah. Can't help it because I brought a good ground heart to this service. It's what God wants you to know as a covenant person. You don't compare. And you don't compete any longer because God is the one that gives you affirmation. We are accepted, Ephesians 1 said, in the Beloved. Did you say, man? You may never be accepted at the yacht club with your dinghy. Can you say, man? You probably won't. There are places, and listen, it's not just a racial bias going on here. It's economics. If you want to see bias, if you want to see discrimination, it's the economic strata. It's not just color of skin and culture, it's economy. Can you say amen? I would go to preachers' conferences and I would sit at a table with pastors from all over. And I'm sitting there and, you know, I'm a size 40, suit. And I felt like I looked pretty good in my suit, you know, and my shoes were shined. And I brushed my teeth real good, praise God. Amen. My Timex still looks good after all the beating it takes, praise the Lord. It's still ticking, hallelujah, amen. And I'd sit there and I'd look around the table and everybody's looking at me like, oh, glad to meet you, brother. God bless you. Good to have you. Yes, yes, amen. It's amazing. You know, pastors talk that way. I don't know why they do that, but they do that. Amen. God is God, and joy is joy. Amen. We drop an octave and we add something to it to try to make it more relevant, I guess. But anyway, we're all pastorally sitting around the table at one of these places that I was even with a group in the Capitol Hilton Hotel with presidential seals on the carpet because he had things that involved Congress and the president. I was sitting at one of those deals with too many forks. Amen. And so I've learned which ones. That was a long time ago. I'm still being changed. Hallelujah. Amen. But you're sitting there and everybody accepts you as an equal. And then they say, where do you pastor? And I say, in Tampa, Florida. Oh, that Tampa. Tampa's on the map. That puts me on the map. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So I didn't say Dover, you know, or somewhere, or Sefner, or Mango, but Tampa. I passed, and I did. The church was in Tampa. And you're sitting there at the table, and they say, and here's the next question that always comes up. How many people attend your church? I said, well, at the time, you know, we were running about 100 on a good Sunday. Amen. About 100 folks come. Could feel it. Feel the wall go up. 100 people. It's still a little preacher in a little church. You're out there winning a few souls. Amen. Should be a big preacher, big church winning many souls. So the few souls don't really have that much value. And it's not about souls. It's not about how many souls you're reaching. It's about have you arrived at a particular place. Hello? So here you feel like, what'd I do wrong? Amen. You ought to try, if you think you've got faith, you ought to try pastoring in Sulphur Springs.
Yeah.
Amen. It must be nice to walk into your grand church with all your wonderful people. Amen. Driving up in their SUVs on Sunday morning, giving liberally in the offering. Amen. With an air conditioner that works most of the time. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And no derelict walking in the door and stumbling forward Man came in one time with no shirt on, and he said, you know, and I went, we had a clothes, always kept some clothes around to give people, and I found a shirt, and I took the shirt to him, amen, and he was sitting back there, he was pretty inebriated, and I took him the shirt, I said, sir, you're in God's house, and you're very, very welcome here, but I'd like to ask you out of honor and respect to put on this shirt. He says, God knows what I look like naked. I said, I'm sure he does, sir, but we don't, and we don't want to. So would you please put on this shirt? Can you say amen? And he put on the shirt. Amen. A man came in, he'd fallen down and busted himself up and didn't even know he was bleeding because Proverbs said one of the things wrong with drink is that you can get so numb by the liquor that you can hurt yourself and not even know it. And he was bleeding. I took him to the parsonage. We had anybody here ever seen a roach in Florida? Sometimes they'll... I don't know where. I think they bring them from up north sometimes in their cars, and they get out, get in their homes sometimes. And we were at the counter, you know, and I was trying to bandage him up. And the service was going on, trying to get him all bandaged up. Amen. And so we were standing at the counter, and Parsons then was behind the church, and we worked on them roaches, but every now and then one would get in. And he was a big one, well, two or three, but he was a big one. Amen. And he came running across the counter. He wasn't actually the roaches, you know what they call that? They call him a water bug, the big black palmetto bug. And he come running across the counter, and that guy was standing there, and I had this hand bandaging it up because he saw that thing, and his eyes got big, you know. And he took his hand, and he said, bam! And that juice, that's a juicy roach. It just sprayed me, it sprayed him, it sprayed the wall. I mean, he smashed that sucker on the counter. And when he did, he says, I got him, preacher! I got him! Thought he'd done me a big favor, and I'm saying, yeah, you got him. So, you know, I've been through some things to keep me humble. Hallelujah. But we bandaged people up. We blessed them. We prayed with them. Praise God. We gave them peanut butter sandwiches, and we did what we could for Jesus Christ. And I look back on it, and I'm going to tell you something right now. Amen. I can go anywhere. I can sit by anybody. I can look them in the eye and say, we had 35 Sunday morning counting the kids and babies. Hallelujah. And I can watch their faces drop and know in my heart it's okay because Jesus is right here with us. He's right in here with me. Hallelujah. The souls that we reach for Christ are important to God, and we've been part of that process, and there are, in fact, going to be people in heaven that come up to me and come up to you that have supported this ministry. People that you helped me to reach, amen, and that we reach together, hallelujah, by keeping doors open. And they're going to come. Some prisoners are going to come. Ex-cons from Louisville, Kentucky. Discouraged church members about ready to give up their faith. Amen. A young woman that was hopelessly bound to homosexuality is going to come up and give us a big hug and say, I'm glad you did it for Jesus because all of that together helped me come to know Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Used to sit out in front of the church and two beer guzzling guys would sit on a bench and they started drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning and drank all day long. So they were having their wake up brew at 9 a.m. and I would come out of that little parsonage on the way to church and I'd see them and they'd throw their hand up. Hello, preacher. I'd say, hey guys, why don't you come? All the church would fall in. The church would fall in. Amen. Years later, amen, I led both of those men to Jesus Christ before they died. Hallelujah. Because they called for me and we shared the gospel together and the benefit of being able to be saved. Amen. What is the worth? What is the value? I just want you to know this morning before we even get any further in this teaching, amen, that you are a chosen generation. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people in that you have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you're different than any people on the planet. There's no bond, no free, no rich, no poor among you. Can you say amen? In God's kingdom, we're one in Jesus Christ. We're not male, we're not female. Nothing that could keep anybody separated from the same intensity of love and privilege and blessing, amen, will stand in God's kingdom. Hallelujah. You're not bond or free. There's Jew nor Greek, male nor female. But we're one in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? In that incredible worth and value today. You know what that means? That means that Billy Graham is not valued any more by God than you are. He doesn't hold a greater place in God's heart because of what he's done. Because God commended his love that put us in that place to us. Not after we achieved something for him. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? That means nothing you can do now can make him love you any more. For greater love than this hath no man than he'd lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. Can you say amen? Come into agreement with me. Say he loved me while I was a sinner. Say he loved me while I was a sinner. I know it sticks in your craw, amen. You think you've earned some of that. You haven't. You couldn't. There's not enough you could ever do to earn that privilege and that place. You're not worth and never was worth in your personal worth God's own son's death. Can you say amen? You're not worth that. I'm not worth that. And I'm particularly not worth it when I was a sinner sinning against him every single day. But he loved me enough to give me that privileged place if I would come to him in that condition. And the reason I'm serving him today and want to live a holy life and a separated life is not just because I dread and fear the consequences of not, it's because I'm returning and reciprocating love to God for loving me so intensely. Hallelujah. So I'm not competitive today. I don't have to be. Glory to God. I'm kind of a semi-retired, if you call pastoring part-time semi-retired. I don't know what I am. I just know that wherever I go, with whoever I can, I share Jesus Christ from my heart. And I know God is pleased with that. And I know I can go and be places that preachers in great pulpits can't go and be. Because they can't pull 8 hours where I pull it. but I do. Hallelujah. And where I pull my aid, I let my light shine. Praise God. And God has been good to me. And He's been gracious to me. And He's been gracious to my family. And I'm glad to be right here, right now, this morning, in His will. Praise God. We're going to grow, but our growth isn't going to make me preach any different or any better or with any more enthusiasm or conviction. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you know that you're worth God's best? People think, well, there's 35 people. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. God says, I love one of you. I love 10 of you. I love 10 billion of you. But I love you. One man said he loves all of us as if there was only one of us. Who was it? Dottie Rambo's husband, Buck Rambo, come from a huge family, 12, 15 kids. And said, the way that her mom made each one of those kids feel special, she had candy. Back then, a piece of hard candy wrapped up was a treat. It wasn't like today when it's so, you know, it was a treat. You normally only get you get one of those peppermint sticks at Christmas. You thought, wow, this is great, an apple and some walnuts. Now you give that to a kid, you say, all right, where's the stuff, you know? Come on. But that was, you laughing, you still young, yes. She said, don't give me no walnuts. Give me a Walkman, amen? That's just in my stocking, amen. I want a stereo system on, moving right along. Praise God. But said she would come up to each one of them, and she would take them aside, you know, and do something special for them. So they were, after her death, they had a family reunion. And they got to talking. These 12 or 15 kids got talking. Says, you know, Mom really loved me the best. And I know she did. I kind of felt sorry for the rest of you because she treated me like, but she didn't want to hurt y'all's feelings. So it's what she would do. She said, there'd be kids everywhere. She'd call me aside where nobody could see. And she'd say, Mama loves you. And, you know, they didn't have hardly any money. She'd take that little piece of hard penny candy, put it in his hand and squeeze it. Mama loves you. Amen. In other words, and he'd go off so the other kids didn't see and eat his candy. Mama loves me. I'm special. That's her way of making 15 kids feel everyone individually and personally loved. And, you know, they all begin to weep when he told that story. And as they begin to communicate between one another, she did that for every one of the 15. So every one of the kids felt like, I'm so special to my mama. She loves me so much. Can you say amen? You got to be careful. That mother was a wise woman. Instead of saying, I love all you kids, here, go play, she took them aside and made each of them feel special. And there's a danger in just getting among the church-going crowd on Sunday morning. Or reading John 3:16 like this, for God so loved the world, corporately, collectively, and just being part of this vast amount of people instead of individualizing that. Amen. What God wants us to do today is understand our individual, personal worth to Him. You're not just part of a covenant people, but by virtue of being part of covenant people, you are a covenant person. Can you say amen? There's a lot of times at work I'll be challenged by something, or I'll be getting very, very tired 6 days this week and very, very difficult seeing young men just, you know, about ready to keel over, look like. Amen. And I would have some little something from the Lord. Some little burst of energy, some little grace, some little gift of understanding of how to do something that needed to be done. And I find myself saying every single day, thank you. Thank you, my covenant friend. Because I feel that I'm intimate and closely related to God by this covenant. That I'm not just someone that He's had to accept because His Son bled for me, but I am someone that He loves and someone that is special in His sight, and I don't need, amen, for other people to sow so much into me. I don't need to just preach to get an applause. I just preach because I love Him. Whether people say that's great or that wasn't great, that's not the issue this morning. The issue is I am completely loved by God. Yes. Hallelujah. And I don't have to prove myself anymore. I used to go to a men's gym. I don't go anymore. I always say that apologetically because I don't want to infer that this is the after. I'm back to the before again. Amen. I've lost all that after stuff. But I used to go to a men's gym, and professional bodybuilders, by and large, have a need. If you, Schwarzenegger is now what, governor of California? Yeah. Mike is a Republican, and he says, yeah. He's the governor of California. But in his early days, he had a complex. And a lot of bodybuilders go to the gym because they can't change their intellect. They can't change a lot of their professions or anything. Well, they can't. You can't. You can't, you know, you can't get a high IQ by going to the gym. Amen. But you know what they can change? They can change the physical structure. Something can be changed. It's, you know what that goes in reverse? People that can't change themselves and are unhappy with themselves, that's why people get into the people that diet down to where they won't eat anything. Anorexic. You know what that is? I don't like what I see. And they're not just looking at themselves because they can never get thin enough. They get a distorted view of who they are to the point they look like skeletons almost. They are dying. Their body is shriveling up on the inside. Their bodily organs are under duress and stress. And you hear someone like the Carpenters singers, the one lady that is so talented, so beautiful, and yet she has such a terrible self-image. She starves herself literally to death. What a waste. What a tragedy. You know what God wants to do? He wants to change that. What makes you valuable is not, amen, how you look on the outside. It's not even what you are on the inside. That's more important, but that's not even it. What makes you valuable is that God loved you enough to give His Son to die in your place on the cross, and you have been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That gives you value and worth, acceptance and affirmation like nothing else in all the world. So you don't live the rest of your life trying to convince your family, your friends, your peers that you are somebody, and because you have this wonderful place in Jesus. Amen? I see people in church trying to do that. I see a man came to our church, he heard a tape, and he said, "Where is that church?" To his son who brought him the tape. "I want to attend it," because his soul was being fed. But when he got to the church didn't fit his ideal. And he said it himself, so it's okay for me to tell it. He said, "I had three goals. I wanted to get a new car, I wanted to get a new home, and I wanted to go to a particular church in the city that was, you know, pretty big." Everything said, "I've arrived." Amen. Isn't it amazing the values? It's a Christian value system. But he heard the word, and it got in his heart, and he said, "You know, I need that." But when he showed up at the church, it didn't fit with the new car, the new home, and that church. I mean, that's like wearing, you know, a tuxedo with tennis shoes. Can you say amen? But he stayed for a while. But his peers put pressure on him. It was a constant. "Where do you go to church?" "I won't go here." But see, that's what's wrong in Christianity right now.
Amen.
We're still operating according to the world's value system. And we want God to make us up there with the world. It's amazing. And we twist scripture to do that. We want what they've got. That's called envy. That's called envy. That's called covetousness. It's a form of idolatry. Covetous is idolatry. Amen. When I see something you have and I'm discontent because I don't have it, that's jealousy. When I see something you have and I want it and I gotta have it, amen, that is covetousness. Amen. Jealousy is discontent over the possessions or the achievements of someone else. I am angry at you because you're achieving, and I'm discontent over that. Amen? Envy is when I want it for myself. It's called the lust of the eyes in the New Testament. You see it, you want it. And our value system has gotten messed up because there's whole movements right now in Pentecostalism that unless you arrived financially at a particular place, your faith is underdeveloped and you're not being obedient and you're giving, there's something wrong with you. You're a substandard Christian. And how different it is. You know what? Everybody say, when you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Scripture said, in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In fact, it said He was the express image. We haven't even read Psalm 105. We're just talking about covenants. A covenant of love. Jesus rebuked everything the world values. And you can't change it without twisting Scripture. He did, in fact, ride into Jerusalem on the foal of an ass. It was a donkey. Roughly the equivalent to a Yugo. You remember Yugos? Not the storm, but the car. Amen. He was, in fact, born in Bethlehem. Wasn't he? Bethlehem, Ephrathah, a little city of bread. The only thing that put them on the map because they baked bread. It's a blue-collar area. Amen. That's where the King of the universe was born. He did, in fact, was born in a manger. I'm sorry. It was a manger. That's not inaccurate. That's biblically substantiated. There was no room in the inn, so they had to go somewhere else. And it wasn't the Conrad Hilton. It was a manger. He did grow up in a little town called Nazareth. And you know what they said when a prophet came out of there, and he started preaching? You know what they said about Nazareth? No good thing ever came out of Nazareth. Are you with me? And then Jesus said, you know something? The things that are highly esteemed among men are abominations to God. Everything based on pride. Everything based on this system we call the world. God says, I'm going to rebuke that. I'm going to live in an open rebuke to that. And a man came and said, Jesus, I want to follow you. And you know what Jesus said? The foxes have holes. The birds have nests. I don't have a place to lay my head. Are you here? Did he say that? What Jesus do you want? You want a yuppie in an SUV? You want a yuppie in an Escalade so you can be like him? You can't be like him and follow the world's standard. There's nothing wrong with a nice car and a nice home if you get your worth from the blood of Jesus and not from the things that you possess. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I guarantee you if you buy me a Cadillac, I will drive it. I am not too proud to drive a Cadillac. But I guarantee you one thing. It won't bring me a greater joy than the joy I have in my heart in Jesus Christ right now at this moment. Those old amens were very weak. I'm sorry, that was a weak amen. Say it again. I'll give you another chance. Hallelujah. Not for me, but for the truth. Hallelujah. Some people get their worth, and this is, you can see how this service is changing and going. Some people get their worth from being spiritually, among your peers here at church. You have to get your worth by being accepted by them as being spiritually correct instead of politically correct. You have to worship in a certain way, pray in a certain way, do certain things to say, I am spiritual, now I'm one of you, I'm arrived. That is pressure and it shouldn't be put on anybody in this room. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? You don't have to speak in tongues. I'm Pentecostal and I do. You don't have to be saved. And being saved is the greater blessing. And that's what we should be praising God for. Amen. You don't have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. And heaven's where we all want to get to when all this is over. It is a blessing. It is a power gift. I believe that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But you don't have to be, amen. But you don't have to be in the sense of the Pentecostal expression of gifts. You don't have to do that to go to heaven. Amen. If you did, Billy Graham wouldn't be in heaven. I kind of believe after all the souls he's won, he's going to be there. Not because he won the souls, but just the fact if a man can have that kind of witness for Christ, I believe he's got a place in heaven. He knows the Lord. They that do know their God will be strong and do say, oh dear God, it's 12:20. He's just now taking his coat off. No, I'm getting ready to close. Hallelujah. There's a coat hook. Praise God. Getting ready to close don't mean anything here, but I thought I'd console you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm serious about this thing. There are people trying to fit in. We can't ever be closed. You've got to keep it wide open. If somebody comes and they don't pray like you, let them alone. They're not talking to you when they pray. They're talking to God. Hallelujah. I don't need to impress you when I pray. One man mumbled a prayer and he pronounced a few words wrong. I'd preach a sermon that was so powerful and someone would meet me after church and tell me about one word that I pronounced wrong. They said that was the wrong pronunciation. No, Michael got the sermon. He got the sermon. Amen. I need Michael to correct me so they don't laugh at me on tape. Amen. No, that's not what I'm talking about. There are people that miss the sermon. But they picked up on that one thing. So I was reading one day about this guy, and he said he was at a meeting, and people were praying, and this one man prayed, and he was really earnestly praying and seeking God, and this other fellow was listening to him pray, and this other fellow decided to correct him, amen, and told him something about his prayer that was in, you know, you should, that phrase was this or that, and he says, I wasn't talking to you.
That's right.
I like the prayer of Hannah, anywho. Don't you like Hannah's prayer? She was mumbling a prayer to God because she was barren and couldn't have kids, considered cursed, and now she's kind of declassified as a not a full woman because she couldn't have children, and she's praying for a child to God. She's just praying in the temple, and she's mumbling a prayer. Amen. And the priest come around and heard her mumbling and begin to rebuke her and chide her for coming into the temple under the influence of some kind of beverage, and because she was mumbling, and she let him know, listen, I am not here under the influence of alcohol or something like that. I am here continually before God. Amen. I am asking Him, amen, to give me a child. Hallelujah. But this wasn't the kind of prayer that you print and frame and sell in a Christian bookstore. This is the kind of prayer that came from the heart of a woman that God was listening to. And He granted her petition, not because of her eloquence, but because of her simple obedience and faith. Some of us are afraid to pray in public because so many people are going to be judging us by how well we pray. Prayer is more a work of the heart than it is the head. And you can close people out. They get intimidated by our spirituality. They can't handle it because they can't make the grade. What is the grade? I thought becoming more like Jesus was what we were after. Can you say, no, not more like you or more like me, but more like Him? If you want people to come here, you've got to open it up. Just open it wide open. You say, you don't have to pray like me. Pray like you want to pray. Hallelujah. It's a matter of the heart anyway, isn't it? You know, you get in a right place with God in faith and obedience. The Bible said before you even ask, I'll answer. That means I will begin to move to answer. Because I know you're going to pray because you trust me so much. So before you even open your mouth to pray, that means it's not just in the prayer itself. It's in the heart that God sees. Faith is not something you convince everybody else you've got. It's something God knows you have or don't because He looks right into your heart. Isn't that incredible? I usually pray in the King James. I read the King James Bible so I can say thee and thou just like me and you. It's no problem. Other people have a problem with thee and thou. You know, I mean, I can't imagine go up to Pamela and say, Pamela, I love thee. Thou art so beautiful and thou art so wonderful. She say, quit it. What do you want? Sometimes we think God is going to hear us because of our much speaking, the eloquence in prayer instead of the sincerity of our heart. Amen. Jesus said, if you want me to teach you to pray, let me teach you how not to pray. Don't pray like the people that stand publicly and become so eloquent. Don't pray like them. Amen. Talk to your daddy in heaven. Honor Him. Hallowed be thy name. But never forget He's your Father. So talk to Him like you would a parent who loves you with all of his heart. Can you say amen? And quit trying to impress Him. Because God's not impressed with all of that. Things that are highly esteemed among men stinks to God. It's abomination. That's why they call the abominable snowman, the mythical creature. Or maybe he's out there. I don't. Amen? One thing for sure, he stinks. Amen? He's abominable. Amen? It means he stinks. So God said there's a lot of things that man thinks is so wonderful, it just stinks. Because it reeks of man's pride, man's self-exaltation. So Jesus came another way, didn't He? Didn't He? Wave at me. Wave at me if you know anything about Jesus. I mean, people looking at me like, oh man, I wanted that house and that Escalade so bad. Well, I'm not saying you can't have a house and that Escalade. I'm saying if you got to have that to be happy and you're a Christian, there's something wrong with your relationship with Jesus Christ. And God wants to put it right. You're a chosen generation. Does that do anything for you? Doesn't that do anything about the world, about you, your peers? You, individually, are a chosen person. You're a holy nation. That means you're set apart unto God. You're not like anybody else on this planet. You're a participant in the covenant. If you need healing as we go into these covenants, I can't teach healing just because, amen, I say there's an anointing for miracles, there's an anointing for healing. I can't just teach faith to be healed because of a few scriptures. I've got to get you to fully understand and appreciate that you are a person of the covenant. Hallelujah. God is doing what He's doing because of a covenant. Hallelujah. Amen. He's loving because of a covenant. And He made it clear, it's not your loveliness that makes me love you. It's because I've got a covenant. Hallelujah. And I've set my love on you to keep my covenant. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad He loves that way. We're not always lovable, but we're always loved. Isn't that good to know? So you quit trying to earn this and start living in appreciation. It changes everything. So Psalm 105 is like that. Let me finish reading this. We'll be through with the preface. Maybe next time we can read the Psalm. The great theologian John Calvin said that all true wisdom consists of two parts, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves. Unless we have both together, we will properly understand neither ourselves or God. God has revealed Himself to us not in mathematics or metaphysics or philosophy or some abstract pursuit of the mind, but in concrete historical acts. You know why they call Him Jehovah Rapha? You know why they called Him that? Because He healed people. It's what He did that brought the knowledge of who He was. Amen? Why did they call Him the Lord our Deliverer? Because He delivered. Well, they call Him the Lord our righteousness because He granted righteousness to those who put their faith in Him. It's something He did. Amen. And how did he show they were in right standing with Him? Amen. They said, who's God a God like ours? Amen. We cry to Him, He answers us. Hallelujah. Amen. It's what He does that proves what He is. Yeah. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That proved who He is. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You can't just make a claim. It's what you do that gives validation. So when John said, should we look for another? He said, tell Him what I'm doing. Tell Him the lame walk, the blind see, and the deaf hear, and He'll know it's me. Can you say amen? Are you with me? We can't have an impotent God. He's a God who reveals Himself by acting in behalf of His people. So He didn't reveal Himself to us in mathematics or metaphysics or philosophy or abstract pursuits of the mind, but in concrete historical acts. God reveals Himself not in religious theory made up by gurus sitting down and meditating upon life, the universe, and everything, but by His dealings in history with real human beings like you and like me. Can you say amen? So many people come to Christ because they hear the testimony of someone else who's come to Christ. Yeah. They see someone in the workplace whose life has been radically, dramatically changed, and then they say there's something to what they have gotten into. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 105, together with Psalm 106, rounds off the fourth section of the book of Psalms. In these Psalms, we find a contrast between two aspects of the history of salvation. Psalm 105 lists the mighty acts of God. He is the God of history, the God who is unfailingly faithful. Everybody say unfailingly faithful. Hallelujah. He doesn't just claim that. We've got history. And people. And that hall of fame, that faith hall of fame that's in Hebrews 11 in the New Testament, it's still growing and people are still being added. And I'm one of them giving testimony to His faithfulness. Amen. And if you've got a testimony, you're one of them today. If you don't have a testimony, you could have one by coming to Him and trusting Him. Hallelujah. He's the God of history, the God who's unfailingly faithful. Psalm 106 lists, by contrast, the acts of man, who is unfailingly unfaithful and stubborn. Everybody say stubborn. Continually flinging back in God's face His kindness and mercy. The incredible thing is, as stubborn as the human race is and is ungrateful, God sets His love by cover. Where sin doth abound, God's grace doth much more abound. He's not going to draw back from calling stubborn, self-willed people to Himself. And the great thing about stubborn, self-willed people, when they realize how greatly they've been loved, by God, they begin to melt, and that exterior begins to melt down. Hallelujah. Isn't it incredible when we have a good meltdown? Hallelujah. There's bad meltdowns and there's good meltdowns, and melting in His presence because of His love is a good meltdown. God melted me down. I don't need the motorcycle, although they're a lot of fun. But I don't need that persona anymore. I don't need the black leather jacket. I don't need the switchblade, and I don't need the black jacket in my pocket, homemade black jacket. I don't need the swagger when I walk. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? I don't need a bunch of words that a six-year-old can say to prove I'm a man. Hallelujah. I don't need my nose pierced it. I don't need a tattoo this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I appreciate the guy that came to our church with a tattoo. Got gloriously saved. And the tattoo was of a naked woman on his arm, and he didn't have the money to get it removed, so he went out and said, I'll make one more trip to the tattoo artist. He had the tattoo artist put a nice dress on her, and it wasn't a mini skirt either. Can you say amen? How incredible is that? That's got to be changed. Can you say amen? Now people do a double take because they see a Sears Roebuck model, you know. Anyway. To quote Calvin, man never achieves a clear knowledge of himself unless he first looked upon God's face. In other words, you're not going to see yourself as you truly are until you see Him as He truly is. You know what Isaiah 6 said? Are you ready? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And this guy with God's call on him saw himself, not as some great man, amen, that God had made a great choice in calling him. You know what he said when he really saw God? You know what he said? He said, woe is me. He saw himself in light of that great God and said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live in the midst. That's what's so incredible about grace. I have seen myself as I truly am. It's not a great man, not a good man, not anyone that has anything that God should give His Son for, but He did it because He loved me and wanted to redeem my soul. Even while I was a rebel and sinful and proud and blaspheming. And I love the man for that. I love Him for that. You hear me, church? I don't just fear Him and dread Him. I love Him for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. And love is a stronger, more enduring force than fear is. You can go out and forget God among your friends and get partying and break covenants, but love will keep a covenant, hallelujah, even when the pressure's on. Remember Job? Down at the end of his trial, when he began to see what God was really like, and he was arguing with this great God of the universe, and suddenly he saw what he was really doing. And he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now the eye of his spirit, because he didn't see the figure of God like Isaiah, but he said, but now my eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself, same principle, and repent in sackcloth and ashes. I'm sorry for questioning you. I'm sorry for arguing with you. I see you as you are, and therefore I see myself as I am. And without His redemptive love, man is doomed. He's damned. Amen. You're one heartbeat away from eternity. I can look anybody in the eye and hear tattoos and all. Brazen, amen, big, strong King Kong's brother-in-law. It doesn't matter to me. Can you say amen? More hair on your chest than I got on my head. It doesn't matter. Can you say amen? Listen to me. You're going to take your last breath one of these days, and that day could be this day. And they're not going to be no big shots there. I've never been to a hospital and talked to a big shot. That man that was dying. Amen. I've seen him die from drug abuse. Amen. Livers that have been eat up because of alcoholism. And it's not a pretty sight. And there's no strong men and no great men and no bad men and no big men. There's people that are going out of this world. But honey, I've seen peace on Christians. Little old Christians that couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper sack. But they were big in God and big in faith. Can you say, man, they had peace in their heart that you can't buy and your swagger can't give you. And I'd rather be one of those little Christians, amen, going out into eternity with God in my heart than anything else on this planet. Hallelujah. Just thought I'd run that by you so you know where I stand. To quote Calvin again, man never achieves a clear knowledge of himself until he first has looked upon God's face. That's what's wrong in many churches. We judge ourselves by ourselves. We don't judge ourselves next to Him. So judging ourselves by ourselves, we're all doing pretty good. judging ourselves next to him, we need to repent in sackcloth and ashes.
That's right.
We're not as Christ-like as we ought to be. Hello? When you compare yourself to Christ. When you compare yourself to each other, you may even feel like you're head and shoulders above somebody. But when you compare yourself to Jesus, you've got to fall on your face. You've got to say, Lord, I need help and I need to grow. And I need to quit judging others because I need to take care of me for a while. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? That's why churches stagnate. They come to a place where they feel they don't need any more growth. Some people get a few gifts of the Spirit and they feel, I don't need any growth. My Lord, I got the call. I got the anointing. I've been prophesied over. I prophesy to others. I don't need this growth. Compare yourself to Jesus. Really get a clear vision of Jesus and then take a good look at you looking down on everyone else. Look at Jesus with the basin and towel and look at yourself standing, amen, in designer clothes behind a pulpit somewhere and ask, are you like the Master? Hello? 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 It's not your anointing that makes you special. It's your servant heart. Everything's to be done to the edifying. God calls you to be a servant.
That's right.
Not to be superior.
Amen, brother.
Wow. This is one of the quieter services we've had on Sunday. I can hear that little fan running over there. You know why? Because there's no room for pride in here.
That's right.
Or arrogance.
Amen.
Or judging. And there's no room for being self-consumed with trying to arrive somewhere. Paul said, I know how to abound. I know how to be abased. And I've learned in whatever state I'm in therewith to be content. For he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I won't fear what man shall do unto me.
Amen.
From that point on, I'm totally fulfilled in Jesus' promise to be present with me. And having food and raiment and Christ in covenant promise, therewith be what? How many are not starving to death? I know you're hungry. I didn't ask that. How many are not starving to death? We're going to dismiss them. How many are not starving to death? How many can go home and there's actually something in the cupboard, even if your name is Hubbard? Can you say amen? Amen. There's something in the cupboard. I mean peanut butter. There are people in the 63 million people don't have a peanut butter sandwich today. 63 million. So next time you eat one, say, God, thank you for this peanut butter sandwich. Liquid steak. Hallelujah. Amen. With all the protein of a steak right here in this sandwich. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Be thankful. How many of you got Christ in a peanut butter sandwich?
Amen.
You're a Christian with a peanut butter sandwich. You know what Paul says? You got it. Oh, by the way, how many people have a shirt, a dress, a pair of slacks, a pair of shoes? I'm not going to ask you how many pairs of shoes you have. Numbers somehow just, I can't crunch the numbers. Yeah, we got it. And we got Jesus. And we got a world that's trying to tell us we need something else and we need to tell that world. No, we need to do like this. We need to tell that. We need to tell that world. Amen. Come on, girl. You know how to do it. Come on. We need to let that world know. No, we don't need nothing else. You're the one that needs something. We're the one that got something. Can you say amen? Yes, I can eat a peanut butter sandwich. Yes, I can eat prime rib. Whatever state I'm in, I've got Jesus and I am content. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Yes, I can go to a preacher's conference and look them in the eye and say, we had a good Sunday last Sunday. We had 35, hallelujah, counting the kids. We had a good time in Jesus, hallelujah. The Lord was with us. We learned some things about God, and God took our littleness, our seeming nothingness, and he did some things with it down through the years. Things that we could have never done in and of ourselves, but God did it, and there's going to be people in heaven because a little group of people came together and was faithful to him.
Yes,
hallelujah. Oh, give him a hand clap. That's what it's all about. Glory to God. I know people that for 30 years have been trying to find their ministry. And they've been overlooking the ministry that they've got every single day of their life. They won a few people to Jesus. Oh, they just won a few people to Jesus. Isn't that incredible? Just a few. Well, honey, if you were one of that few, You'd be glad that that person came into your life when they did. Can you say, man? When you escape hell and you live in the bliss of heaven forever and you really fully appreciate what it means to be saved, not just what you're saved to, but what you've been saved from, amen. If somebody won three people in their lifetime and you were one of them, guess who's going to get a big hug when we get to heaven after you hug Jesus? Can you say, man? Hallelujah. No, you don't put a worth on that. I want to win as many people as I can, but I don't want to wait on my ministry. It's here, it's now, it's in the present, it's in the moment. Tomorrow at work, I'm in my ministry. Amen. And you think you got trouble today? I took care of a wedding where the best man, 16 years old, going to be the best man to his big brother, 21, getting married the day before, was killed in a freak accident where a bunch of young guys jumped up on the back of a car as it was traveling about 25 miles an hour in our neighborhood, in fact, and he fell off the car onto the pavement and hit his head, and it killed him. He's gone that quick. Slow-moving vehicles, the way he hit. Boxers sometimes get bad hurt when they fall, and nothing breaks their fall, and they hit that canvas. He hit the hard road and killed him. But he would have wanted, they said, his brother to get married anyway, so we had a wedding in the waiting for a funeral, and I didn't take care of the funeral. It wasn't one of those things that I chose. It was kind of pressed upon me, but I was there, and I did the best I could. At the end, I talked about God's grace and God's love for people in crisis. It was crucial. It didn't change a thing, but there was a witness given. You never know when you are the key in somebody's life to give them the opportunity. So the day after the funeral, which was 2 days after the wedding, the brother of the grandmother for whom I did the funeral for, I mean the wedding for her grandson, he committed suicide, killed himself. So she's got a grandson dead, and she's got a brother who commits suicide in 1 week. And that's when your car won't cut it. Your house won't cut it. Can you say amen? That's when your values begin to get re-evaluated. You walk into a doctor's office, this thing on cholesterol, it's amazing, the commercial on cholesterol, very effective because they show a guy, look like he's in his 40s, and he's really trim, and you can tell he works out, he's kind of buff, and yet he's starting to age, but he's got that body, and he gets on a diving board, and all younger women are looking at him, you know, that look, you know, he's a good-looking old codger, amen, he walks out, that's how young women look at you, don't think that you suddenly are youthful because of that gold chain. Anyway, moving right along, amen, so he walks out, amen, and he takes the plunge, and he does a big belly flop in the water. And you know what the message is? With all of your style and with all of your working out, you could have cholesterol inside there. Even if you're thin, you could still have it. And your veins at this moment could be closing off, and your heart, they get restricted. They can cause a heart attack, and you better check it out, chum, because you're a fragile being. What they're saying is, for the truth, we're fragile. Can you say, man? We are very fragile people. And you can get up tomorrow, and one event in your body change your entire life for the rest of your life. Can you say, man? Thank God for Jesus. And then the car doesn't matter. Listen, if a doctor says you've got 6 months to live, it don't live. If you live it out in a palace, you won't enjoy one night knowing that in 6 months it's all over, it's all gone, and you've brought nothing in this world, and you can take nothing out of it, but your soul is going out of this world. Boy, I'm telling you something. I do not look at the man in the penthouse without Christ this morning with any sense of envy. I do not desire or need to live in that penthouse to be a good Christian and to be a good witness for Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you buy me a new home, anybody out there listening want to buy the pastor a home, go ahead. Buy me a home, I'll live in it. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll say it again. The joy that's in my heart this morning in Jesus Christ, there's nothing you could buy me down. Oh, I'm not saying I wouldn't enjoy it. Come on, I'm serious. There's nothing wrong with a nice home. There's nothing wrong with a nice car. If you want to buy me one, please, it's God. I'm telling you, you don't even need to pray. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and do it. Hallelujah. It'll be fine. But what I'm telling you is the joy, not the enjoyment of a thing, but the joy of Jesus. You can't put it on the same level. I'm not saying I wouldn't enjoy the thing. I'm saying the thing with all of its enjoyment can't take the place of the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. Can you say amen? So I don't have to get big biceps, and I don't have to have the car or the clothes or have the profession or the achievements. All I have to do is recognize how He loved me at Calvary and what He's done for me when He gave Himself for me to give me worth and acceptance and affirmation.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So I don't hang my head anymore. God dealt with my complex, and I don't preach to get your response. I'm glad when you respond, because that's the chief end of preaching, is to see change in people's lives. But you don't have to do it to make me feel better about what I'm doing. Because a lot of my preaching and teaching is for a witness. Some people are going to go to hell that hear me preach. But they will never in hell say they were not challenged by the truth of the gospel before they went there, that no one ever told them. I'm not here to win everyone. I'm here to be a witness for Jesus Christ to all who will listen. Period. Amen. And my reward is not how many come to Christ or don't come to Jesus. My reward is for being true to His gospel and making it clear. So I'm looking for that reward when I get home. And there's people there that have come to know Him. Let me finish this. Will you stand, and you'll know that we are closing. I want in the closing moments of this service, I want us to get rid of our complexes. I want us to get an open door policy to everyone who walks through that door. If you want the church to grow, don't try to get them to be like you or me. Somebody says, do I have to shout to be part of you? No, you sure don't. You don't. Do I have to speak in tongues to be part? No, you certainly do not. Do I have to become as demonstrative as that sister or that brother? No, you do not. You do not. Is there anything wrong with them? No, there is not. There is not. David danced before the Lord with all his might. So don't ever study about David if you think he was out of order. Amen. He's a man after God's own heart, so God obviously liked it. So whether you like it or dislike it is now of non-importance. We're not going to quit dancing and shouting because people don't like it. Because God likes it. Thank you. But He doesn't require it. You don't have to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some people their character is very quiet and reserved, and I like to see God shake them every now and then, but it's okay to stay that way. In fact, the people that normally shout, it's okay. I enjoy it, watching that happen. But you know what I really like to see?
Yeah.
I went to a tent meeting one time, this huge tent meeting, about 5,000 people present, and you know, sawdust floor, but people were there in suits, and I was a pastor. I wore my coat and tie, and there was a guy in front of me, and he was the epitome of a successful businessman, because that back then, if you had a pinstripe three-piece suit, you know, it says, I am somebody. So he sat there in a Pentecostal meeting. Everybody, it was nighttime, and there was, you know, mosquitoes, and it was kind of humid, warm weather. And here sat a man in a three-piece vested suit. And there's a pocket on the vest. And instead of wearing a wristwatch, he had a chain up here, and he had a watch sitting in that pocket, and the chain kind of draped. And he had a silk handkerchief. He was striking. I mean, he was nice looking. He was a black man, very, very successful. And he had a silk handkerchief here in his pocket, you know, and the gold rich wristwatch, and his shoes were shined beautifully. And he's sitting there in a pinstripe suit, and he hasn't moved. He's just been very seriously looking. And I thought, here's someone just a seeker. He don't know what it's all about. He's just like me when I first got exposed to Pentecost. You know, it's kind of weird at first, you know, and he's just looking to see what this whole thing's about. He's not one of those shouting people or demonstrative people. He looks like a lawyer, a doctor, or someone, you know, and he's sitting there. And right there was a high point in the service. I mean, it was right down near the end where the minister was really preaching about Jesus. And he said something about Jesus that just resonated, I guess, in that guy's heart. He'd sat there without blinking, looked like. I sit right behind him, big old gospel tent, and all of a sudden, amen, that man jumped up and tore off running, as not to the altar, he just running. He just tore off down the aisle. And I thought, my Lord God in heaven. And all of a sudden it hit me. What hit him? Hit me. And I came to myself, chasing this man, halfway around the tent. And I mean, the guy was just, he was hollering, glory, glory, and running. I'm running behind him and said, wow. And I thought that guy would think I was crazy. So I kind of liked that. I kind of savored that. And I thought, Lord, ain't you something? Now, that doesn't say that. Now, see, Somebody's going to hear this tape or show up and hear something like this and say, "Dear God in heaven, I'm not going to a church where that could happen to me." Well, let me tell you something. If you don't want that to happen to you, it's not going to. You got to say, "Lord, I forget all the pride. I forget just whatever you want me to be, make me. But above all, make me more like you." Can you say, man, that's what we're all in this journey for. It's not who runs or who don't. Don't be surprised if the pastor don't shout and click my heels up. Don't be surprised if the Yankee fans didn't do that this weekend. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, in Boston, they'll turn. It's good the Sox didn't win. They'd turn over your automobile up in Boston. Can you say amen? They get so excited over that stuff. Well, we can get excited over Jesus. Amen. This is real. This is reality. This is not man-made religion. Hallelujah. It's eternal stuff. Let me finish this. We're gonna get rid of some complexes. If you'll let God do it, find your worth in Jesus, square your shoulders, quit comparing and competing with anybody spiritually to be spiritually correct or politically correct, and just be what you are for Christ. Hallelujah. Don't worry about who judges you one way or the other. They don't really matter now that you're a child of the King. Can you say amen? No, they do not matter anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am not a needy preacher. I don't need someone to affirm me. Amen. I'd be glad to have fellowship with anybody, but I don't need them to affirm me. I am affirmed in Jesus Christ. I don't come to get anymore. I come to give. Hallelujah. Such as I